Hi, everyone. Welcome to Retro Rewatch. I'm Jeff Gamut. With me is Patrice Brendamore. As always, Patrice, it's great to be here with you.
Yeah, it is. It's always great to be here with me.
Or with yes, you? It I is. Don't know. It's always great to be here with you. Yeah, all right.
Let's be here together. How about that?
That sounds great. And let's do what we always do, which is talk about TV shows you've seen.
Yeah.
But this is the first time I'm seeing them.
Yes.
And
these are the rules of Retro Rewatch.
That's right. Patrice has seen it. I have not.
Yes.
So we are still in Stargate Season 3. We are on episode number 8 or 9. I've lost track.
Nine.
Rules of Engagement.
Yes. Not Rules of Retro Rewatch. Rules of Engagement.
But... Excuse me, I suppose our rules for Retro Rewatch are a form of rules of engagement.
Yeah, it's how we engage with our listeners, I would say, and with this episode and all of that, right?
Yeah. So, yes. I want to start off with my prediction. And my prediction, I'm not going to say I was right.
No.
But my prediction, I was on the right track.
Yes. I mean, we knew it was something about that. Like, about war or something like it. No, I don't remember exactly what you had said, but I remember that it was a very interesting way of approaching, or... Knowing what I know about this episode, I was like, yeah, that's actually very interesting. You're kind of, but kind of not on the right track.
Yeah. So as I recall, my prediction was the gate to a world where they're suddenly in the middle of someone else's war.
Yeah.
And they're kind of caught in the middle of it, and they're trying to figure out the rules and which side that they're supposed to be on.
Yeah. And in a way, yes, and in a way, no, right? Because in a way, yes, there is a war on this planet, kind of. It's a fake war. It's a training war.
Mm-hmm.
But kind of there's two sides and kind of there's rules, but actually Teal'c already knows the rules.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, but it's, I said, that's why I said it was an interesting thing, because it's, I said, it's kind of wrong, but it's kind of right. Kind of.
Right? You know. Well, considering my track record lately, I'll take the sort of win.
The sort of win.
I'll take the not completely losing.
Yeah, that they're not getting killed.
There we go. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. I would love to hear the details you have about this episode.
Oh, sure. So, as usual, I have some general broad terms, like when this is happening and all of that. Air date was August 19th, 1999. A lot of nines in this one.
Yeah.
Almost in September. Maybe we'll have a September show, like a September 19th, 1999 or something like that. Anyway, September 27th, 2000 was when it was released in Germany. IMDb rating, slightly up by 0.2, I think, from last week, but not massively, with a 7.1. And
okay.
This time I actually kind of agree with the rating. Well, we'll talk about that later. We have a story by Terry Curtis Fox, and this is his last of three SG-1 episodes he wrote a story for. And we got the teleplay credit. Wow, that's a difficult word today. By two people we know of quite well, know quite well from the show, Brad Wright and Jonathan Glasner. So, I would say.
Names we know. Okay.
We also have a name we know for the director's credit. William Garrity is back. Most recently, he did season 2, episode 8, Family.
So okay.
Also an interesting one. We have a bunch of guest stars. So that is always good, right? Starting with Aaron Craven as Captain Kyle Rogers. He's a kind of a stage and screen veteran. He will later appear elsewhere in Stargate. I'm not going to tell you where, but he will appear later somewhere else. But okay. he's also be seen, or has been seen, in Smallville, the Smallville TV show.
Okay,
mid-2000s, I want to say.
So teenage Clark Kent before he's really Superman. Okay.
Correct. And Fringe. I don't know if you remember that, but like also 2000s.
Yeah, I do remember Fringe. I saw any episodes.
I did, because there was a free episode that Apple gave away and I watched it. That was probably the only one I watched. It was not my thing. Dion Johnston as Captain Nelson, known for returning as Jaffa and other creatures in the series. So we will see him in the future, in the past, all over the place. Like he's around, as is tradition in shows like this. Like people sometimes in smaller roles, will come back. Like it's that. You don't want to find new people all the time, and nobody remembers them anyway. So,
And these people are working, so good for them.
Good for them. They get paid. Jesse Moss as Lieutenant J. Hibbert, known for the Vancouver TV cult horror genre films. Josh Beyer as the Sergeant. He appeared in numerous Canadian TV roles. And then we have two big names that we, I think, recognize. Mm-hmm. Ever heard of Peter Williams?
Yes. He did an episode of The Expanse.
That probably too, yeah. But I think we know him as Apophis, of course.
Yes.
And the other is our favorite.
Dr. Fraser's back.
Yay, exactly. Total Lottery. Back as Dr. Fraser. Small role, but she's finally back after not being seen for a couple episodes. Interesting stuff. German title, I think I revealed last time, Regeln der Kriegsführung, Rules of Warfare. So, not much spoilery, I would say.
Yeah.
Oh man, more of, it's kind of Rules of Engagement, Rules of Warfare, kind of, same. This is the first appearance of the Intar red-barreled training weapon that we see, and a signature non-lethal prop for Stargate. So we'll see that again in the future. Not a surprise, because the prop is nice.
Yeah, not surprised.
The battle camp was built using real Canadian Army surplus tents and gear, with hand-fabricated landmines and training mortars for safety. So quite a bit of work for the prop department after last week's massive set. That's actually pretty nice.
Yeah, they've been busy.
All this red powder, the death effect, right, that they had, it's not CGI. It's actually some of it is real. They were washable, really? And they created on-set air scripts with colored stage paint.
Huh, okay.
Yeah.
I just assumed that was a special effect.
Not only. The briefing tent features real military cots and trunks, rebadged with Stargate stickers and prop gear. Okay, that's not a surprise.
No surprise.
What might be interesting is Apophis was not on set. They shot is a new performance, of course, by Peter Williams, not something we had before. It's not archived footage, and it was shot separately. So he did not join them in the Canadian force.
That's unfortunate, but at the same time,
makes sense.
Totally makes sense for the way.
Why would
that character's used?
Yeah, why would they track him out there if he's just a hologram?
Right.
Makes sense. Teal'c's Jaffa tattoo and prosthetic were applied and removed multiple times a day due to rapid scene changes and also the environment and all of that.
It looked like they had to deal with a lot of weather issues on the shoot.
Yes. Most of the extras that we saw were regular background actors that altered or reused costumes. So, they needed cheap and easy people that they can have in the background.
Yeah.
So that's for the most part it.
Okay.
Yeah. We have some little other things later.
You know, I'd be disappointed if you didn't have other little things for later.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. I just saw that I have the same thing like three times. So much for the AI did a good job collecting that. We did a good job seeing that.
Bless its little AI heart. Yeah.
So maybe I'll not do anything for later. I can reveal one thing. The field scenes were shot over two chilly, rainy days and nights. It was a quite tough set with cast and crew dealing with mud and paint debris and all of that. So,
That doesn't surprise me. I mean, there are scenes where you mm-hmm. can tell it's cold.
Yeah, and I mean, it looks like it's more a Canadian fall or winter or early spring, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely not a summer shoot.
Oh, it is definitely not. Yeah, there are a couple scenes where you even see people's breath when they're talking. Mm-hmm. That's how chilly it is.
Yeah, that's also one scene where we see someone in jeans, but that's a different thing.
Oh my gosh. Okay, you'll have to point that out because I think it was
towards the end, like 38 minutes in or something. There's one scene where you very briefly see someone in jeans and t-shirt or something. Jeans and sweatshirt, something like that.
Whoops.
You know, that stuff like that happens all the time.
Oh yeah.
Good. Should we jump in?
Let's do it. All right. So our teaser opener. Mm-hmm. SG-1 is walking through the forest on clearly what must be a different planet because I don't recognize any of the trees. No, wait.
No, wait.
It looks the same as every other planet.
It looks the same as every other planet we've seen, or almost every other planet we've seen, and looks like a BC forest for some reason.
How about that? yes, and our team, they are looking for some sort of encampment
that they've seen on the UAV. Yep.
And Jack is lamenting the data from the UAV because it doesn't seem to be, I guess, accurate.
Yeah, not helpful at least.
Or not helpful. Yeah, he says that it needs a kick in the CPU.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. That's so very Jack. And then they hear weapons fire. Mm-hmm. And someone, I think it's Sam, says, that definitely sounds like a staff blast.
Yeah. No, Teal'c says it's a staff blast. Carter says it's weapons fire. So, okay. It's very clear you can hear both weapons fire, type of fire. You can see you're kind of the... It sounds like almost like the Stargate one, and definitely very clearly staff blast.
Yeah, yeah. So it sounds like there's a battle happening. Mm-hmm. And so our team, they shimmy up along a little ridge, and they
probably
can
the
see
same ridge line we've seen so many times before.
Yeah, I'm assuming that's the same ridgeline that Jack was on when
Iris Bok, like when that happened, I think.
Yes, yes. Yep, you're reading my mind. Mm-hmm. Yep. Anyhow, so they can see that there's a Stargate unit, and they're actively engaged with Jaffa.
Yeah.
And they can see that the Jaffa are about to overrun their location. They're trying to figure out what team this is.
Yeah, and the team is not really fighting back, which is strange. They're like, why are you not fighting back? Like, and as you said, they're speculating, what team is this? Is it SG-11?
Right, yes. And they say SG-11 has been missing. Mm-hmm. Might be SG-11.
Yeah,
they try and contact him on the radio.
Declared MIA months ago on P89354, if you want to know it.
Ah, I was wondering if that's where it was.
Super important. Yeah, yeah.
So, they can't raise the team on radio. Mm-hmm. excuse me. So then... They try shouting at them to let them know that they're being overrun, realize they can't. Mm-hmm. So they have to, so they like slide down the hill on their bellies and get mm-hmm. close to yeah. the to the soldiers. And Jack is yelling at them yeah. to let them know they need to fall back. And
yeah,
and
the guy just asks which quadrant, which seems to confuse Jack. He's like, what is he talking about?
Right. Yes. And mm-hmm. So they can't get this team to actually take mm-hmm. action. And then all of a sudden, soldiers pop up from hidden locations.
Yeah.
And they shoot SG-1. And the teaser ends with yeah. our team. They're all laying there mm-hmm. on the ground. They've been shot. No one's moving.
Yeah. So are they dead? Of course, we know they're probably not, because otherwise that would be a pretty short show or episode.
Yeah. Or series.
Or series.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought it was an interesting opener.
You thought so?
Yeah, well, what I thought was interesting about it was the whole thing of what's the mystery with this team mm-hmm. and so I was left wondering at this point, are we dealing with a team that's been lost and they've just found them and there's a problem with that team that we now need to discover, or is there something completely different going on? Mm-hmm. Especially since they just got gunned down by people in Stargate uniforms. But it wasn't like an opening where I thought, oh my God, that was done well.
Mm-hmm.
It was just, okay, they've done enough to keep me interested in what's going to happen next.
Yeah, it's a bit strange.
Yeah, so
I don't know. I kind of found it, compared to other openers, it was kind of weak. I was like, yeah, okay. It's like, okay. Slight mystery.
Slight mystery. Yeah.
Maybe because I knew what was happening, that might be it, but I'm like, eh.
Yeah, well, and for me, it was all new.
Good. So maybe that's a difference.
Yeah, but you're right. There have been much stronger openings.
Yeah. It was also quite short, I think. Didn't do much.
Yeah. It felt but at longer least I should, to me, but yeah
no, it wasn't. I think you're right. But it was like a minute or two. But at least one thing, we finally see the Stargate again.
Right.
After not having it, we finally get the Stargate again. The Stargate crop is back.
So we know that they actually do still have a Stargate yeah, in the series. Yeah,
they didn't just teleport or something.
Yeah. Yeah. So, all right, we come back mm-hmm. after the opening credits. Everyone, our team, they're in a military tent. They're mm-hmm. waking up. And so we get the soldier that comes in.
Yeah, they first speculate that they were shot with some sort of stun weapons, because I think Carter says she expected to be dead.
Right. Yes, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, and then the soldier comes in.
Right. And the soldier, he wasn't expecting them to be talking, and very sternly uh-huh. tells them that they can't be talking because they're dead.
Yeah.
And
he says casualties don't ask questions.
Right. And so at this point, it's clear to me that they've stumbled into some kind of war games thing.
Yeah, something like that. As you said, like, I wrote down and they're supposed to be dead. Them's the rules.
Them's the rules.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, of course, immediately I think, mm-hmm. are these other soldiers that Mayborn is training in an off-world facility?
Mm-hmm.
And that
literally will come up in like a hot second, because this team will think the same thing.
Yeah, and as soon as they think the same thing, I'm like, oh, nope, that's not it, because they wouldn't tell us that's
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
They wouldn't speculate that.
The soldier, I mean, first he points the weapon first at Carter and then at Daniel, because they're kind of being mouthy a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then he finally kind of relents and tells them the captain is waiting for him. For them.
Yeah. And so they head off to see the captain.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me.
There's one detail the team notes. He's wearing an SGX patch.
Right. A team that doesn't exist. And so mm-hmm. this is where I thought, oh, mm-hmm. maybe it's Mayborn
yeah.
training his own Stargate teams.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what they thought. And turns out I was wrong.
But. Right. Yeah. And as soon as I think it's Sam mm-hmm. speculates that maybe it's a Mayborn thing, mm-hmm. I know that is not it.
No, that would be too easy.
Yeah. But then I'm also disappointed because I was really looking forward to seeing Mayborn again. I really like that character. So anyhow, they get to the captain and he's sitting at his table. They're brought in behind him.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a table under a canopy outdoors.
Yeah.
And they're introduced or announced.
Mm-hmm.
The captain is just being a total disinterested captain.
Yeah, disinterested, but he also dresses them down. Like when Jack, he says something about that they're supposed to be dead until, what was it, 2 p.m. or something? and Jack, being Jack, of course, asks, would that be daylight savings or standard?
Right. Yes. And so then this captain, yes, then he does the dressing down.
Yeah.
And
I'm not like
Jack
response.
Says... Jack says something like, yeah, you need to address me as Colonel.
No, he
Colonel.
Says, I think Colonel is the proper way of addressing me, Captain. And he emphasizes those two words.
Mm-hmm. which I thought was great. And so mm-hmm. very Jack.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't work with the Captain, though.
By the way,
mm-hmm.
Throughout this episode, I do like that we see Jack... being very military
mm-hmm.
at times.
Yes. Yeah. This is the environment they're in. So it has to be.
Yeah. It's anyhow,
usually he's with civilians, yeah. right? Usually he's in a civilian environment or it's like a war or something like, or like a hostile territory or whatever. But it's only them. But this is one of the four in base where Hammond is there, which is also different. But this mm-hmm. is like, he is the highest ranking person in the field right now.
Right. And, supposedly. And they're, oh, right.
We'll see.
Yeah. And he, yeah, I just really like mm-hmm. the points where he's just very military.
Yes.
Yeah. So.
But the captain isn't having it. He quotes the regulations. He says, no rank is above strict adherence to the rules of engagement. Rule 2, Article 4, unauthorized forces shall be shot on sight.
Right, and Jack's like, huh?
Jack is like, huh? And then he asks Carter, like, do you know those rules? And Carter doesn't, but Teal'c does. They're Jafar
right,
rules.
Right, because, you know, Teal'c-wiki. So, mm-hmm. yes, they're Jafar yeah. rules.
Yeah.
And at this point, the captain's like, oh...
Yeah, and he says...
You're not from the quadrant I thought you were
yeah,
from.
Yeah, I have that like verbatim that. Because it's a really funny,
okay.
funny scene. So he says, you're not from D quadrant. Or Delta quadrant? No.
yeah.
Different show. Teal'c says, we're not. Captain says, you came through the Chapa Eye. This is a challenge. And Daniel's like, the Chapa Eye? Jack is like, oi! And the soldier next to the captain is like, you meant the Stargate, sir. So he just revealed what's going on. I mean, it was kind of obvious already, but now it's
oh, yeah.
clear.
It's yeah, it is so obvious.
Mm-hmm.
And so the captain, he's like, crap, I totally blew a test.
Yeah, so they must be executed for the day. That's what he says. That's what those are the rules. So he
right,
hands
so
his
hand
weapon.
Over.
Yeah, they hand mm-hmm. their weapons over. Jack checks it, and it has really weird bullets in the magazines. Really nice props.
Yeah.
Very clear that they're very different.
Yes. Yeah. The bullet part mm-hmm. of the whole cartridge is like this very bright red.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is good because it makes it stand out.
Yes.
On camera. Mm-hmm. Which is important.
Oh, it does. Yes, very much so. Yeah. So they address. They figured out that Teal'c is, because he's a first prime. He's kind of the boss on ground, right?
Right. Yes.
Not Jack. So Jack says, "Master Teal'c, might I suggest we spare them this time?"
And yeah, so Teal'c, he's on board with that, and he's very much playing the first prime thing here, and of course Teal'c, he sees what's going on. Yeah. He knows exactly what's going on, and
he says he knows what very he needs well to do. Underling to Jack.
Yeah,
it's really funny. Yeah.
Yep. And, so I like that, they get some basic info from him.
Yeah. Kyle Rogers, acting Quadrant A commander. His Earth name, right, at least, is Kyle Rogers.
And, yeah, his Earth name. Mm-hmm. And then I like how he says, or asks, "Do you want me to bring in, the sergeant or whoever that
not yet.
I'm ahead already?
A little bit ahead already, yes. Because first, Teal'c wants to know the orders. It's like, "Your standing orders given to you by your previous Jaffa master." So now we learn why they're doing this. And he says, "To practice the exercise of battle according to the rules of engagement until the return of Lord Apophis." Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, well... You're gonna be practicing a long time, son.
Yeah. In the end, they say when they're ready for the final challenge, they will come. But get some detail, kind of like about how, like, he talks, I think, about Crawdon A has no spared no detail. They've studied long and hard to make it as realistic as possible. He spouts of, what was it? Corn and cotton are indigenous in North America. Some random fact. Like,
yes. And Jack says that information may save your life.
Exactly. And then Roger says, "So you see, Master Teal'c, my mistake will not happen again. I'm ready to infiltrate the Tauri at your command."
Yeah. So, as if we hadn't figured out what was going on, now they have laid it all out for us.
Yeah.
So we're set for the rest of the episode.
Yeah.
I think now is when we get the thing that I thought was funny.
Yes.
That I was clearly jumping ahead for. What's his name? Sergeant whatever.
Rogers.
Captain Rogers. That's right, Captain America.
Captain America, maybe.
So Captain Rogers asks if Teal'c wants him to bring in the commander from the field, his second in command. Daniel says, "Oh, I don't think that'll be necessary." And Teal'c, without even missing a beat, says, "Yes, bring him in." And then Daniel's like, "Yeah, bring him in."
Exactly.
I just thought that was a funny interaction, the way they did that. Good timing.
Yeah, I think so too. Exactly.
Yeah. So I think now this is where they want their weapons back and get taken to the tent.
Yes.
Okay. And this is where we get the reveal that there's a big problem, because all of their live weapons have now been mixed in with the training weapons. So if anyone gets a hold of SG-1's weapons and takes them out in the field.
I think this is before. There's something before that, actually. This is before that. This is kind of in the scene. So they want their weapon, so they go back off to the tent. We get a Teal'c wiki somewhere in there, I think in the tent. because he says that before Profis requested asylum from the Tuareg, they were but a handful of loyal Jaffar remaining in his service. And it is common practice among the Goa'uld to use humans as fodder during battle, especially when facing defeat. I think that's the explanation why are they humans. I think it's in that tent, actually. Okay. And then they dismiss the captain.
Okay. Okay. So, yeah. And then this is where we have the whole discussion about the their weapons.
Yeah. So we get like Teal'c, like I have this verbatim again. Teal'c, Jack asks Teal'c, like, how do you know those rules of engagement? Important part, right? Also, well, credits. No, this is the show. And Teal'c says they are the code of battle during a young Jaffa's training, spoken by Apophis himself, of course, right?
Of course.
Yeah. So about the weapons, Teal'c is like, they are Intar. Jack is like,
I like this little short bit too.
Short for Intar.
Yeah.
They're used for training and only meant to stun. They can be identified by the crystal. And they can take the form of any weapon. And that's where we get like, yeah, they're missing weapons, so they're like, okay, we should collect everybody and find our weapons.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And but we have soldiers out in the field doing training maneuvers.
Yeah.
And
So Batir goes out to do that because you know he's the big Jaffa master.
Right. And he knows what to do.
He does know what to do because he asks for Vokum. Tells the captain to use it.
Right, and the captain's like, yep, and off he goes to get the thing.
Yeah, goes to his tent, picks up looks like a little mini stove.
Yeah, kind of does like a little camp stove.
Yeah, puts it somewhere outside on the ground and enables it. And we get a really nice surprise.
Yes, we get like a 5-story tall Apophis hologram.
Yeah, visible over an American flag, very important.
I do like how they did that effect.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the American flag was very intentional.
Very very much waving exactly like that.
Yeah. Yeah. But they did the effect really well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's basically, I think the hologram says, this is your Lord Apophis. The people in front of you are speaking for me. Do as they are telling you, basically.
Right.
Heed my words, I think he said, or something like that. Oh, heed their words.
Yes.
Something like that.
So Teal'c, followed by Jack, starts walking down the line, inspecting officers or soldiers. They're clearly looking for their weapons.
Yes.
But not seeing them.
No, not seeing them. And then we get introduced to the second in command, Nelson.
Right. And he's dressed as a Jaffa.
Yeah.
And he has a very poorly drawn Jaffa symbol on his forehead.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's a human, right? So not Jaffa.
Yeah. And and presumably someone just went like, shh, okay, I'm drawing it for you.
Exactly. Jack wants to speak.
Right. So Teal'c does the culturally appropriate introduction.
He says, this is Colonel O'Neill. He is much loved by Apophis. To which Jack gives him a really strange look. He's like, okay.
Yeah. But, you know, Teal'c knows the right things to say.
Yes.
Jack totally bombs on his announcement.
Yeah, I have it here because it's so funny. He's like, Apophis wanted me to tell you that you've all been doing a wonderful job. Couldn't ask for more. Well done. But he also wanted me to tell you the whole invasion of Tauri idea has been canceled due to rain.
Yeah.
That's the best he could come up with, due to rain. But of course they don't believe him.
No, of course they don't.
Yeah, they say the rules say it can't be stopped.
And apparently they're right. That's what the rules say.
Mm-hmm. Them's the rules.
Dem's the rules.
We go to Carter and Daniel, and only now we realize that we haven't recovered all the weapons. So they did the inspection despite not knowing if all the weapons are accounted for. But they still haven't recovered all of them.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, the timing seemed weird, but whatever. I'll roll with it.
So Teal'c steps in and tries to tell them the truth. He's like, okay, no, Apophis is dead.
Right, and
they don't care. And
they're like, nope, he's a god.
Yeah, Roger says, Apophis is dead, gods can't die. Therefore, Apophis cannot be dead. Very nice logic to that. Where's the flaw? And Nelson adds on, and anyone who says otherwise is either testing us or is a traitor. Sure.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. And they can't convince the people that the whole thing is off.
Yeah, and Teal'c tells the team, he's like, yeah, Apophis has lived for thousands of years. It is as if we had said the sun will never rise again.
And he's right.
Yeah. Like, oops.
And, they end up back in the tent.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, I guess, some rando soldier in there. I don't know if it's somebody who's supposed to know.
There's definitely a rando soldier in there. they're trying to convince him that the game has been canceled. He kind of course, doesn't believe them and says, nope, that's not what's happening. And then Jack says, Jack just takes it into a weapon and just shoots him. It's like, yep, that's what happened.
Yep. You can tell Jack is, he's over.
It. Yeah. He's like, I'm done.
Yeah. And so they load themselves up with the Intar weapons because, I mean, they don't want to kill these people.
Mm-hmm.
They just want to stop them and presumably help them to be freed from this war game thing they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So off they go back out to get to the War Games location.
Off to the War Games location they go.
Right. And Mr. Rogers. No. Wow. Captain Rogers.
Yeah. Yeah. He's with them, I think, somehow. And there's a Jafar with this real staff weapon. And Mr. Rogers is like, nope, Apophis will save me. And walks out and gets shot, of course.
Of course he does. And
I mean, what was he thinking? Wasn't he trained? Like, I mean, this is supposedly a real thing, so real battle. So wasn't he trained and stuff?
The whole thing is weird. It's like, okay, so they're supposedly using these training weapons.
Yeah.
And I would assume the staffs would be training staffs as well.
Yeah, 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 yeah. I have some
thoughts. And so presumably he's not expecting that he will suffer actual injuries.
Yeah, but it's still for training a really bad approach to say, oh, I will be fine and Apophis will save me. I'll just walk into an Intar blast and get killed. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, it was weird. But it was necessary to move the plot forward.
Exactly. So we get
it was a plot shot.
Plot shot. Yeah. So we get a scene. So the SG-1 rushes to him, and also the Jaffa, I think, rushes to him because it's all part of the same team, kind of. Because he sees that he was really hurt, and Roger says, "Have I displeased Apophis?" Daniel says, "No." Teal'c says, "Apophis would be proud." And then Nelson comes in and says, what happened? Because that's definitely unusual, right? What just happened? He got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And then Roger says, the day has come, Nelson. It is the final challenge. Because blood has been spilled. So that's the signal, I guess. Yeah,
luckily, we have a Teal'c wiki right there to explain why it's so significant.
Yeah, he says, it's a day in a warrior's training where the first blood is shed. The games become real.
Yeah, so...
So they all return.
Yeah, magically, they're all in the medical tent, I guess.
No, we go back. So Sam finally has all the weapons back. And Jack says, okay, good. Keep them.
Okay.
And then we go to the medical tent.
Okay, so we end up in the medical tent, and
they're like, hey, we should take him back because we can help him. Which, of course, not allowed.
Right, rules of engagement, dems the rules.
Mm-hmm. So Daniel does something really cool.
Daniel was very clever in this scene where he says, no, you don't understand. We have to take you back because we need Apophis to see the first blood so he knows this is real, and then he knows that you're ready for the final and he needs to come.
Yeah, that seems to convince them. I mean, Nelson still is not happy about breaking the rules, but at the end he's like, okay, I guess. I mean, it's Apophis, right? So that's different.
Right. You know, and who wants to go against their god?
Exactly.
Yeah. So, we walk back into the Stargate room, coming through the gate, and they have Rogers on a little stretcher.
Yeah.
And they Rogers, call for medics.
Yeah, Hammond comes in. What happens? And Rogers says to Hammond, "My lord." And O'Neill says, actually, we just call him General Hammond.
Which is so very Jack.
Yeah, it's very Jack. Yeah, and then Rogers realizes that he has been deceived.
But luckily, we have Dr. Frazier right there to make sure everyone knows we got to get him into the infirmary right now.
Yeah, so she rushes him out.
Right.
And Hammond says, or actually the Hammond, Jack, and Action there at the end is also fun.
It is.
Yeah. Hammond says, like, back to debrief, ASAP, Colonel. Do you know what ASAP means in the military?
Mm-hmm.
Like, right freaking now.
Yep.
With an angry freaking. And Colonel Jack just says, yes, my lord.
Which was pretty funny. And so finally, for the first time in what, like three episodes?
Yeah, this is no two episodes.
We finally get...
Yeah, we haven't seen him since three episodes ago. Yeah, two episodes we didn't have him.
Yeah, so we finally get General Hammond back, which also means we finally get to go visit the exposition
room. Our favorite room. So what we see is they've brought back some INTARs, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
Could like research them and figure out how they work. Good idea.
Yeah, and Teal'c explains what's going to happen next, which is...
He says, in my training, it is when we received our actual staff weapons. The two opposing camps then engage in battle until one side emerged victorious. And I think we all know what that means. They will kill each other.
Yep.
Yeah.
But the victors... become Apophis's, I guess, like Lee Jaffa.
Yeah, I mean that's how Teal'c, I think, explains. That's how he became. Like he survived. He was a victor, and he was made first prime because of that.
Mm-hmm.
So, but they also realize that even if they don't have, I mean, they kind of speculate like, where do they get weird weapons from? Because they only have the INTAR weapons, and. They realize that doesn't matter. Because if they want to kill each other, they will find a way.
They will find ways to do it.
Yeah.
Yep. Sticks and rocks and fists can be very effective.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Daniel kind of pleads with Hammond that they should go back and help and resolve this. And he says, General, we're indirectly responsible for all this. They think that we're sent through... They think that we were sent through to start this. And Jack says, what we need is to send back there is a team of shrinks. Those kids are out there.
Yeah. So, but what they really need. Yeah. He wants intel, which they don't have. But they do have Captain Rogers.
Yes.
And so Jack's like, I'll go deal with him.
Yes. Yeah. So he does. Frangio comes in. She says, oh, he's just doing fine. He's doing fine. He's just very angry.
Yeah, which seems seems reasonable.
Yeah.
And Jack devises the most heinous torture one can possibly imagine to convince Rogers to talk.
Exactly. So there's a plate with like food. And of course Rogers is refusing to eat because, you know, they're the enemy. So Jack just grabs the sandwich and starts eating it. Funny, if you look at the scenes, the sandwich changes a lot between, I think there were different takes or whatever.
That's funny. I should have been paying close attention to that, because that's exactly the sort of thing that I would expect to happen.
Yeah, and I have this conversation, part of it at least verbatim again, because it's really funny and I wanted you to experience that. Because he says, old Fraser says you haven't been eating. And Roger says, it's poison. And O'Neill says, it's hospital food. Of course it is.
Which is very funny.
And then he says, tuna. And Roger says, go to Sokar. Which gets me, and I think Jack points out, means it's usually we say, go to hell. It's kind of the same thing.
Yeah, and which is what Roger says. And then Jack's like, yeah, guess so.
Yeah. And then O'Neill says, this is the infamous, and he said, I think they talk about torturing him, and he says, yeah, this is the infamous tuna torture. Jack, and then Jack tries again to convince him to say, yeah, Bofus is dead, we saw him die here, which of course he doesn't believe, because gods cannot die.
Right. He does eat some of the sandwich, though.
He does. Yes. He's like, okay, convinced. Maybe it's safe. Even if it's not good, it's safe.
Yeah. So they, you know, the kid needs proof, and that's fair, because you're questioning his faith.
Yeah.
So they bring in a recording of Apophis dying, and so now we have I'll call it archive footage from a previous episode.
Yes, we do, and I have to point out, in a way, that is not a clip show episode. This makes sense.
This totally makes sense. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. It's okay to show some. I mean, they saved probably a couple of seconds with showing it. So, okay. But yeah, makes sense. And then I have another bit, because it's really, really important. Because this is the point where Rogers realizes what's going on. It's like, what magic is this? And Jack says, no magic. I was there. And Teal'c says, as was I.
And that's the big thing.
Yeah, that is what seems to be convinced. It seems to convince him. It's like, okay, if Jack had said something, he might have been, yeah, okay. I mean, he doesn't. I think Rogers realizes that Jack doesn't lie. He would say so, but that Teal'c also confirms it is kind of okay. I mean, he's still the master.
Right. Yeah.
So Rogers says, "What will you do to us?" And Carter says, we're not going to do anything to you. We want to help you. And Jack says, you can go home wherever that is. War's over.
But Rogers is like, actually, no, it's not.
Yeah, because tomorrow the final challenge begins and many of my men will die for him. And he points to that guy.
Yeah.
That seems to have turned him quite easily, but okay.
Right. So we have more to unpack.
Yeah. As I Where recall, do we do that?
We would have to go to the exposition room for that.
Exactly. So we get some interviewing Rogers, and he revealed some details of what happened. Like, how did this happen? They were brought there 5 cycles ago. And I'm like, I'm wondering, is that 5 years, 5 months?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, they've been there long enough.
Yeah, to be this good.
Just they've been there long enough.
Yeah. We learned that Apophis, remember SG-11? The mystery of SG-11? Now we know. Apophis captured them, forced them to teach them, and then killed them.
Right. And they killed them when the team would not reveal some form of information.
More information, yeah. They gave him the some basics, some easy stuff, and then they didn't want to do anything else.
Yeah. And so then the Jaffa masters that are there with them, mm-hmm. one by one, they all left for some grand battle.
Yes.
And none of them ever came back.
Yes. Whether there was actually a grand battle or whether they just didn't believe in Apophis anymore for like, okay, I can do my own thing. Who knows?
Yeah, but regardless, they were gone. Yes. And eventually it's just these humans mm-hmm. that were brought there and trained.
Yeah.
They continued to do that.
Yes, they continued. And this is the key point, because Roger says, okay, now that he's basically shared everything he knows, he's like, may I now ask for your cooperation, sir? To Hammond. And Hammond is gone. Uh-huh. And he says, as we speak, my men are preparing the final challenge. And Hammond says, I was under the impression your weapons are non-lethal. And he says, well, they are, but before Master Gartok left, he showed Captain Nelson and myself a cave. Inside were weapons intended for the final challenge. Real weapons.
Yeah.
So that's not good.
That is not good. Yeah.
So they come up with a plan. They're like, okay, we should probably show this. I mean, since this worked on Rogers, we should probably show the same video. How do we do that? We can wheel a TV in there. How about the vacuum device?
Right. I love that Jack calls it the vacuum.
Very consistently calls it the vacuum. Carter, I think, points out, yeah, I think we can program it because we've been working on interfacing with Google technology. So I think we can do that. So they're like, okay, there's the plan. We'll go there. We'll program the vacuum with Apophis' death.
The trick is actually getting in to be able to do that.
Yeah, exactly. And Hammond points it out, and Jack says, we do have the Intars, General. But Hammond's like, what good will they do? Like, they're non-lethal. And it's like, we could shoot first and ask questions later. Hey, that's a good idea.
You know, in this situation, I agree. Non-lethal. Yeah.
Non-lethal, just shoot first. Good idea. Mm-hmm. So that's what they will do.
And then we get something we haven't seen before mm-hmm. with our Stargate team. Mm-hmm. They're wearing like army helmets. They've got the face makeup. They're in full war camo paint. Gear, war paint.
Yeah. They're ready for battle. For war.
Yeah. And Daniel looks like he's completely out of his element.
Yeah, which he is. Which will be very clear in a second. So I like that it's kind of a hallway walk and talk while they're walking to the gate room. We get a little mm-hmm. bit of preparation, like Jack repeats with Rogers, like what the plan is and how they're going to do this. And we get some exposition in that, like what's going to happen, how this whole last day is going to work and all of that. And then Daniel, Jack says, Daniel will stay with Carter, who will watch you like a hawk.
Mm-hmm.
Because, of course.
Yep. So off they go. And as I recall, from this point forward, it's like the episode just tumbles out.
Yes.
And then we go to the credits.
More or less, yeah. It's very, very, very quick and very, very brief. Like, basically, we go to the planet, we see the battle beginning. People starting to shoot and whatever. Mm-hmm. So they go towards the base. There's people there defending the base, of course. Because, you know,
that makes sense. And we get to see Jack being very military soldier the battlefield.
Again. And but Rogers basically, like, they infiltrate the base, and then Rogers is sent to them because, you know, he's part of the team, right? So
right.
Yeah, so he basically walks out. And it's like, hey, I'm back. And they're like, what are you doing here? And he's like, oh, yeah, I've brought good news from Lord of Apophis and all of that. And basically distracts them. And then we see just like the red darts flying, and everybody mm-hmm. is shot down, basically.
Yep.
Yeah. So now they can prepare the vacuum.
Right. And I love that Jack keeps calling it vacuum and someone corrects him.
Yeah. Yes. All the time. Yeah. And we get like a little, it's a little bit of a tense scene because Carter is like, they're under attack because now the other people from, no, it's actually the other people from the other camp, I think, are now attacking.
It's all the other camps are going after the one camp. The Some one like camp that. Has yeah. superior firepower, mm-hmm. but the other camps have larger numbers. But
They all wear SG uniforms and they're all now attacking. The team with Rogers are kind of shooting with their intars to shoot down as many of the other soldiers as they can. But it's hard. And Carter's taking very long to program it, and there's some techno babble about aligning things and figuring out the right frequency and the magic handshake. I don't know.
Yeah. it's like what's the right Haze modem command for this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. How many baud does this do?
Right.
what's the MTU that we need? I don't know.
Yeah. Sing to it. Diener. Yeah.
Exactly. So turns out they have mortars.
Right. And they have a lot more than that too.
Yeah. And Rogers is like, oh yeah, and they have this and they have that. I'm like, and now is the time you wanted to tell me about this.
Yeah. So Jack keeps yelling at Carter, which is mm-hmm. kind of funny because Carter's in a tent, not mm-hmm. where they are. Mm-hmm. They're up against a sandbag barrier with weapons fire all around them.
Why didn't they use radio?
Right. And how can she even hear him?
Overall the fighting and shooting, I think it might be pretty hard. So why don't they just use radio? But okay. But she finally got it. She rushes outside under mortar fire and sets up the vacuum.
And sets the camp stove.
That's the camp stove. And we see Apophis rise up. And he asks them to come to him, basically.
Right. Yeah, the standard
greeting.
Intro.
Yeah. Yep. So the question is now, will they follow? Or because they're in the middle of a battle. I mean, that was a question I think they even raised before. Like, will they follow? But it's their lord. They're God. So I think they will.
There's a message for them. It turns out they do.
And it's turned out hesitantly, but they all do. They all collect around Apophis. And Apophis does his thing and says, okay, like, I have a message. Like, listen to whatever.
And then they show the clip of him dying.
Exactly. And then they show the clip. There's a little fight over, like before they do, there's a little fight between Nels and Rogers, whether now is the right time. And while they're kind of fighting and it's not clear, the clip starts and they all look at it. And they all see what happens. And mm-hmm. that apparently turns everybody. Everybody stops. And Nelson is convinced. He says, okay, what will become of us? Where will we go now? And Roger says, home.
And the episode's over.
And that's it. There's nothing else. There's no send-off, no whatever. This is it.
No follow-up where,
The end. We're done. Enough. Enough for today. So.
Yeah. So, we didn't even have any hint of a B story in this one. It was
A minus, maybe. We had very briefly Carter in the tent looking for weapons.
Oh my God, you're right.
Like for like about 3 seconds.
That that's a stretch calling it even an A minus.
They switched. They did switch locations. So they split the team for brief seconds.
Yeah. Okay, what'd you think?
I don't know. It's for me, I don't know. It's not a good story. It's like, I mean, it's an interesting idea. I'll give it that. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, it's an interesting idea. What if it's kind of obvious to say, hey, can we, like, we've tried it the hard way or the easy way. the, whenever you want to call it, the hammer, basically. We've thrown the hammer and like ships and other ways to infiltrate, whatever, and just nothing has worked. So maybe we should try a softer approach, a less obvious approach, and infiltrate the base. So, okay, good idea. And of course, the legacy of Apophis, right? He could have left something behind, like landmines, basically. Right? So, not a bad idea. It doesn't work. I have to say, it's like, I didn't think it worked very well. It was kind of, it was a very straightforward story. Is that there was no AP anything. It was not complex. It was straightforward. It was very obvious what's going to happen, I think, pretty early on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, yeah, the only redeeming quality for me, it's not a bad, it's not a bad episode. It's not like, like Emancipation.
It's yeah. Not bad. Oh.
It's yeah. just, it's just, not interesting. Like compared to last week, even, which apparently IMDb people a little bit less, not much, but a little bit less. I think last week was a more interesting story, the demon story. More interesting sets and all of it. This was kind of, couldn't care. The only redeeming thing is Peter Williams as massive 5-story tall Apophis.
That was pretty great.
That was pretty cool effect, I have to say. And a vacuum, the stove.
And the stove. That,
the stove. The entire weapons are cool. Like, cool idea. I like them. I think we need something like that. Like training weapons.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. And of course, the gold would have, or the Jafar would have something like that. I mean, you could be like, hey, well, whatever. If we kill a couple young Jafar, well, okay, too bad.
Yeah, well, the strong survive, and that's who you want on your
team. Exactly, exactly. But, I mean, it kind of makes sense they would have some sort of training weapon. So, okay. I like them. I like the props. But it's like the story, I don't know. There's no deeper message for me as well. There's like, what's the message of this?
Yeah.
There's no moral, there's no message. It's literally like, okay, people keep fighting until you stop them. And then they keep fighting. Okay.
Yep. Okay. Before you give me your Chevron rating.
Okay.
Where was the person in jeans?
I said about 38 minutes in. Like it's somewhere around the time when we go to the final fight. I think we see in the background somewhere, like far behind. I think I wrote it down somewhere, but I could tell you probably more detailed. 38 minutes 9 seconds. It's basically when SG-1 assaults the encampment just before Rogers reveals himself to the gunner. There's a man in jacket and jeans quite clearly seen on the left behind the tent in the background.
That's funny. So,
yeah, just basically at the edge of the screen.
Okay.
Yeah. 38 minutes, 9 seconds if you want to look it up. DVD version.
It'll be faster for me just to do a quick Google search on that scene.
Probably, yes.
And there will be a still of that.
Yes. Probably, yes. Yeah. So anyway, as I said, like it's, what were your thoughts? Like,
thoughts?
Did you get any morals, meanings, messages, anything like that from this episode?
No.
Anything important?
No, I didn't. I loved the concept of this episode. I love the concept of, like you were talking about, the softer approach, infiltrating with all these soldiers. And I liked the idea of there's this whole camp out there and training facility, and we have to deal with that. And I like the idea that we have these people that are clearly abused, subjugated, controlled, But they've been conditioned to believe that this horrible person actually is their god, and they mm-hmm. worship them. And yeah. how do you deal with that part? And anyhow, so there's all these really great elements, and none of them paid off.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, for me, the best part was Teal'c mm-hmm. getting to be the boss.
Yeah, true.
And getting to see him doing more in a leadership position in the SG-1 team, and then also getting to see Jack be full on soldier mode. Those are the parts that I enjoyed the most.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I don't feel like I got a payoff. And then when we get to the end with the big battle.
It's like, oh, done. Oh, battle. Yeah, stop, done. Like, it's so quick. Like, it's like we spend so much time building up to it, and then it's like, oh, done.
Right, and we were able to convince, what is it, like four different teams yeah. of people.
Yeah,
immediately. With a 15-second video clip.
Yeah,
to completely abandon their entire religion.
Yes.
Everything that they've believed their entire lives.
Yeah.
And just be like, oh, okay.
Deus, what do we do Deus now? Deus ex for cool. I don't know.
Yeah. Deus ex vacuum.
Deus ex vacuum. Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm set. I'm with you. It is probably you would think it is a filler episode. You know, we have 22 episodes, not everything can be great.
Right.
But I'm like, they had a lot of people there and like all camp and all of that. So I'm like, that wasn't cheap.
No, that wasn't cheap.
All the intars and all the weapons and all the special, the effects they had and all of that. It's like, that wasn't cheap.
No, that wasn't. Here's the thing. I still enjoyed the episode.
Okay.
I liked. There was enough for me to enjoy the episode.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly it was not Emancipation.
No, it's not and, bad. It's just.
Yeah, and what's the other one? Fire and water.
Fire and water. Yes.
Thank you. Fire and water. Like Emancipation and Fire and Water, I didn't really enjoy either of those episodes.
Mm-hmm.
This one, at least, I enjoyed. It wasn't like I feel like I went to ever see it again.
Mm-hmm. No.
But in the moment,
yeah,
I enjoyed it.
That's good.
Yeah. So there was that.
Yeah. I think it's totally fine to if you enjoyed it. Like, that's nothing against it. I mean... It might just be because I've seen it before. I didn't enjoy it, but as I said, I didn't hate it. Nothing did basically. It was just okay.
It was a fine episode. It was not a strong episode.
Yeah.
And the disappointment is that there were so many really interesting ideas,
mm-hmm.
and they didn't give us a payoff for any of them.
No. Maybe in the future, we'll see.
Now, that would be nice. Use this as a setup for mm-hmm. future episodes or a future episode.
We'll see. Not yeah. telling you.
So, yeah. So all right. Well,
ratings.
Yes, you first.
It's tough. Is it a 4? Is it a 5 for me? It's kind of, as I said, there's little things I found interesting or nice, like Jack's quips all the time.
Mm-hmm.
The things Jack said, Jack being Jack, all of that. The rest of the team was kind of forgettable, to be honest. I mean, Teal'c barely, but the rest of the team, it's like,
yeah, this is another episode. Now that you bring this up, this is another episode where they could have left Daniel behind, and I probably yes. wouldn't have noticed until late in the episode.
Honestly, even Carter, other than the techno thing that They did. She was not important at all. She counted weapons. Super important. Yeah, Daniel was completely forgettable. Like, yeah. So, honestly, a 4. Like, I'm sorry. I kind of wanted to give it a 5. But I'm like, it's the middle between 0 and 8. So, right, is it? I think. So, I'm like,
Yeah. No, I get it. Okay.
It's just nothing. I don't really, maybe, I don't know, has to do with me or I'm tired or whatever. It's just a 4.
Okay.
How about you?
Now, I was wondering if through the discussion you would change my opinion on this one.
I doubt it.
Because and you didn't.
I barely cared enough to even discuss it, to be honest.
Well, I mean, you could have like convinced me. No, you should give it a lower rating.
Yes. And, so if you say 5, I'll try to convince you that it's a 4. Let's try that.
Yeah, okay. And that's it. For me, it was a 5.
Okay.
The reason it was a 5 was because I was still entertained while watching the episode.
Okay. No, it's fine.
If I didn't have that.
Yeah.
I mean, Jack was very entertaining.
Yeah.
Through this.
No, I'm not even going to try to convince you to do a 4. Because, again, I don't care enough. And I see it. Yeah. Like, if you enjoyed it, I'm easily, like, I think it's a 5. You're right.
Yeah. If this episode had played out like Fire and Water, I mean, it would have been generous to give it a 4.
Yeah, that definitely would have been generous to give it a 4. No, as I said, I understand your 5, and I don't care enough to even try to convince you to give it a 5, the 4. I'm like, it's I get it. Like, if you enjoyed it and you liked it, that's probably the plus one. Good enough.
Yeah,
if I had enjoyed it, I might have given it a 5 for a reason. So I'm like, okay. Works for me.
Yeah. It's if I had to watch it a second time.
Don't
Yeah, no, you don't need to see this one a second time.
You've seen it.
But yeah, it would be very difficult for me to say, oh yeah, it's still a 5. On a second viewing, I know right now. Yeah. But yeah. All right. So instead of focusing on an episode that we can both just leave behind, what do we have coming next?
We have coming next Forever in a Day. It has an IMDb rating of 7.3. So not much better, but
it's going interesting.
Up. Going up, I'll say one thing. We go back to something.
Okay. Not the first time in this season that we have gone back to something.
No. Yeah, and I'm not going to tell you the German one because spoilers.
Oh, yeah, no spoilers.
Massive spoilers in the title in the German one. Basically, it gives away already everything.
Then I really don't want to hear it.
No.
Okay, here's my prediction.
Okay.
In the vein of Star Trek The Next Generation, where there's the episode where Picard lives an entire lifetime in a matter of moments because of some alien probe thing, it's not going to be like that, but it's going to be someone is essentially reliving their experiences, and that is critical to what else is happening in the episode. So it could be like a machine is forcing them to, or triggering this whole process of remembering their entire life, or they have to. There's going to be something that triggers why this person is re-experiencing on some level their life.
Okay. I'll tell you once again, very interesting. Once you've watched it, you will see why.
Okay.
Very interesting. Should have written that down.
Yeah, maybe well, you can write it down.
I mean, we could just have a transcript. That would be
too. That's kind of crazy, but it just might work. All right. Well, then let's go watch an episode that hopefully we enjoy more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But before we do that, Patrice, where can people find you?
Well, you can find me every week on, almost every week on the British Tech Network with you, Big Show and Mac Show, two very techy shows. And we're doing summer fun right now. So that dates the episode a little bit, but it's the summer. And yeah, everything I'm doing, all the social media links, the podcast, the projects, literally everything on my website, thepatrice.com.
Awesome.
How about you?
How about Jay Gamut on the social medias? And mostly active on Mastodon and Blue Sky and Pixel Fed right now. And then just a couple shows. The Context Machine with Brian Chaffin. And I've heard of him somewhere along the way too. And Dave Ginsberg's In Touch with iOS.
Nice.
Then there are also ways everyone can get a hold of us for Retro Rewatch. If you want to do that by email, that would be hello@retrorewatch.com.
Yep.
Mastodon, we're retrorewatch@techhangout.social.
Correct.
And then on Blue Sky, we're retrorewatch.com, I believe.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes, Master.
Go me.
Master Jeff.
Yes. Well done, underling.
Yeah.
No, you're
I am
Master
your god.
Patrice.
I am your god. This person is speaking for me. Heed his words.
Yeah, that's fair. You are definitely higher up the food chain.
Okay. I'm not sure. But okay.
All right. Well, I guess then it's time for us to close the iris.
Yeah.
And I can move back to the couch and watch the next episode.
Yes. Episode 10.
Awesome. Patrice, thank you again for saying we should really do this show.
Yes.
Because I'm having so much fun.
We should. All right. See you next time.
Bye, everyone.